Pikudei. The Haftarah Parshas Pikudei is from Melachim Aleph. It has to do with the completion of the Beis Hamikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. It begins, it doesn't usually get read in this way because it's obviously this year being Shemul Beres, the Yaka Pikudei are separated. It begins with the Pasuk of Tishram Kol HaMelacha, which is Kapitel Zayin, Pasuk Nun Aleph. It's worth mentioning that a large part of this Haftorah is actually read on another day. Does anyone know? Does it sound familiar to anybody? Okay, if you were in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot, so you wouldn't know. But if you were in America or out of Eretz Yisrael, then you would know, or you should know. Beginning with a couple of Pesukim into the Haftorah, the Pasuk, Vayikohalu Elamelch Shlomo Kol Ish Yisrael V'yerecha Yisanim V'chag Hu HaChodesh HaShvi. So that is a couple of Pesukim into the Haftorah of Pikudei, but that's actually the first Pasuk, that's with the Haftorah of the second day Sukkot. The second day Sukkot, maybe in Eretz Yisrael, if you went to a minyan, that's the second day, you would also know, but depending on where you daven. But Umayyah said this is an overlap, because it ends in the same place, but it starts a few Pesukim after where Pikudei's Haftorah starts. The interesting is we didn't read last week Vayakel, the Haftorah Vayakel, because we had Parshas Shkolim. But if you would look at the Haftorah Vayakel, so it's actually right before this, right before where Pikudei picks up, was Haftorah Vayakel. So Vayakel's Haftorah was beginning with Perek Zayin, Vayas Chirom Esakiyoros Vesayoyim Esamizrokos, which is Zayin Mem, all the way until the end of Pasuk Nun. And that is where the Haftorah Pikudei picks up, which is Pasuk Nun Aleph. Quite interesting how one Haftorah runs into the other. So let's talk for a minute, because it's obviously connected. People make a mistake. Even I, at some point, didn't realize at first what it was. But we know that there was a person who was involved with helping Shlomo Melech build the first Beis HaMikdash. His name was Chiram Mitzor. And that's mentioned, I think, we had in the Haftorah of Truma. That's mentioned earlier in Perek Zayin. Even earlier, Perek Hey. Vayishach Chiram Melech Tzor Yisavada Vel Shlomo Kishama. There was a relationship between Chiram and David, and Shlomo sent to Chiram, this is in Perek Hey, that you knew my father, and he was told he couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash himself, and now I'm here to build the Beis HaMikdash, and I want you to be involved helping cut the cedar in Lebanon, and that's where the wood was brought from there all the way to Yerushalayim. So that's the Chiram Melech Tzor that Shlomo arranged with him to get the wood and start the process, you could say, of building the Beis HaMikdash. This was obviously a non-Jewish king, and he had a hand in building the Beis HaMikdash in that regard. However, this is not to be confused with the artisan, the main artisan, the equivalent of the Bezalel of the Mishkan, whose name also happened to be Chiram. This is what I was saying, why I didn't realize going back as a youngster that this is not the same person. Because you have to look Pesukim in Tanakh, you have to read the Pesukim. So here, as you look in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo Vayikach Es Chiram Mitzor. There's a Chiram King of Tzor, and there's a Chiram Mitzor, Ben Ish Almana Hu Mimati Naphtali V'Aviv Ish Tzori. His father was a Choresh Nechoshes, and so was the son. He had the same talent. There's a Gemara in Erechel that talks about what Shevet he was from. It says he was Ben Ish Almanah Mimati Naphtali, and it also says in Debei Yamim he was a Mati Dan. So the Gemara learns out that ultimately there was also the Dan connection, which is quite interesting because for the Mishkan you had the combination of Bezalel from Mati Yehuda together with Ahaliah Mimati Dan. They were together partnering, Yehuda and Dan. As Rashi points out, even though Yehuda is considered most elitist Shevet, and Dan is considered the least so. Here as well, you had the combination of Shlomo HaMelech from Shevet Yehuda, together with Chiram, who was actually also from Shevet Dan. So he was also blessed with, as the Torah tells us about Bezalel, with a lot of talents. The Lashna Pasuk is, Vayimole es ha-chochma, Besatvuna, Besadas, Lasos, Komalecha, Vanachoshes, and he was the one who did the main work for the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the person Chiram. There is still a difference in the way it's described. When it comes to Bezalel, who appointed him, who highlighted him, Hashem. Re'ei karasi v'shem b'tzalel ben uri ben chur v'amaleo saruach elokim. It's Hashem speaking about how he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave him all these talents. Here, the pasuk is much more low-key. V'ayimalei yisachachem esatun. It doesn't say that he was sort of divinely chosen. You don't have that same emphasis over here, but either way, this is zechira. So going back to the Torah that we might have read last week that we didn't, which is right before that Torah Pekudei, that's where the pasuk begins. Zayinem vayas chirom, chirom meaning the mitzalo equivalent, esakiyos, esayoyim, esadizrakos, he made all these things, and it goes through until pasuk nun. Picking up a pasuk nun aleph is the Pekudei Torah that we read yesterday. Vatishlam koan malacha sha'asa melch shlomo beis Hashem. There was a comment of the Netziv that does make a parallel. He shows that Chiram's gift and Bezalel's gift is not a coincidence. So I found the Netziv in Kisisa, and he points out on the pasuk v'chein ta'asu, beginning of Truma, kechol ha'shinimara oschai, istamis ha'mishma, istamis kolkeila v'chein ta'asu. What was involved, what was required. So the Netziv explains that it wasn't just being able to do the actual work and the talents involved in that, but also the spiritual significance of everything that was happening and what it represented. That was also part of Bezalel's talent. He knew all of that. And he goes on to say that that was also the case over here. Even though, guys, it wasn't highlighted as that Kadosh Baruch Hu choosing him, but he says as follows, the Chen Ta'asu. What is that adding? The Chen Ta'asu. Gam ha'osim yasu ha'pu'ula neged ha'tavnis jain ha'olamas ha'mechubadim. There's the Mishkan de Lamala and Mishkan de Lamata. There's the Soldo, so what it represents. The Kashay, the Emes Yada Bezalel ha'kol. And he taught this to everyone with him, what it was meant to be. And only with that did the Shekhinah come down, says the Netziv, and HaMikdavar, V'chein B'migdash Rishon, K'siv B'chiram, Shaya Mole, B'chachma, B'smuna, B'das, and that's why the Shekhinah was Shoreh. Says the Netziv, what? Beis HaMikdash did not have that quality. Where didn't the Shekhinah rest? Shekhin Beis HaMikdash. That's because, he says, the Bonei HaMikdash HaSheni didn't have that knowledge. That was chaser. That's why the Shekhinah didn't rest in second. Masekim b'mikdash sheni hayachaser la'osaha yidiyazu. They might have been able to put together and construct what they did in terms of the physical plane, even though she'asu kol kli kedin halachically every kli was what it should be. Mikol makom hayachaser hashrayas hashchinah, presumably because it didn't have the kavanos and the soldos aligned with the soldos that were behind it. That's the Netziv. Okay, so then you have the Torah of Pekudei picking up a Tishlam Kol Melacha, and clearly there are some parallels in the Pesukim. Regarding Sukkis, we understand, because it all happened that they gathered for Shlomo, and this was in Sukkis. So that's why it begins with that Pasuk, because that's the first Pasuk of that Torah, second day Sukkis. And as far as the connection to Pekudei is concerned, so at the end of the Parsha, it talks about how Moshe could not enter the Ohel because the Anan was on it, and you have parallel psukim over here that the Kohanim lo yachu ha Kohanim lamod l'shars ni ha'anan ki moich for Hashem is beis Hashem. You see the linguistic parallel as well. A couple of little small things to mention here. The pasuk tells us that Shlomo was arranging to bring the Aron into the Beis Hamikdash, and where was it previously? So we know it had been brought up to it was in Ir David. Remember, there was another celebration when it was brought from Kiryas Ya'arim. David was dancing. That was when it was brought to Kiryas Ya'arim. This is now the next destination. So the Aron was being brought from Ir David to Tzion, and that's when they was going to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So the pasuk says, who carried the Aron? Now, in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, who carried the Aron? We know who carried the Aron. The Bnei Kahas, the Levian. There's a whole discussion exactly with Dodos, how that works. Did the Kohanim have the right to change to do it? Were they also from Bnei Kahas? Was it just exceptions? There's a Gemara that says in Mern Sota that in three places the Kohanim carried the Aron. When they crossed the Yarden, and Yeshua describes that the Kohanim carried the Aron, when they surrounded Yericho, and then when they brought it back after David ran away from Avshalom, they brought it back. So the Radak asks the Kasha here. There's another example. Vayisu HaKohanim Es Ha'aron, right here, bringing the Aron to the Beis HaMikdash. And now, it doesn't mention it in the Gemara. Ulai, that's part of what it says there, Hechziru leMekomo, just like when David was coming back from Avshalom, it's called being brought back to its place, so maybe that's included, says the Radak, in what the Gemara says, that Hechziru leMekomo. Okay, so they brought the Aron and inside, and they're all offering karbanos, and it says, Vayaviru haKohanim es Aron b'ris Hashem el Mekomo el Dvir HaBayis el Kodesh HaKadoshim otachas kanfei HaKruvim. And it goes on to say that the Badin were stretched out and they would be making contact with the parochas. There was an amatraxin in the first Beis HaMikdash, which is like a wall separating Kodesh HaKodesh HaKadoshim, but obviously you had to be able to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So within the amatraxin, there was an area that was open with the parochas. So the Badin of the Aron would be touching and sticking a little bit toward the Heichal Sar that you would. The Gemara makes the mashal because it's the idea Ben Shaddai Yolin, it says in Shir HaShirim, K'min Shnei Dadi Isha, that it would be poking out the symbolism of the love that Kodesh Baruch Hu had for Klal Yisrael. But the Radak tries to figure out something here, because the whole width of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if you put the Aron against the western wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you wouldn't have the Badim reach that far to be touching the parochas. So the Radak explains that obviously they didn't position the Aron mamish flush with the wall. It'd have to be a little bit distance away from the wall, and then when the Badim obviously were not in such a way, typically the Badim would be, part of the Badim would be on the one side of the Aron, and equal amount would be on the other side. Here, Vayarichu HaBadim. In other words, let me read it from the way the Radak says it. Mitchila, how you have bad in the sunim ba'aron b'shaveh. So you old fim achore ha'aron kimolofne ha'aron. So let's say the aron is here, so you had as much distance from the badin on this side of the aron as in front of the aron. Shahil old fim achore kimolofne ha'aron. How you know some most so? People would carry it, and you'd have exactly equal amount in one side, in back, and in front. What happened now? Once they brought the aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it wasn't going to be carried anymore. Now that's it. This is its place. So the badim can't be removed. Lo yosiru mimenu. The badim has to stay in there. But they weren't going to be carrying it, so you didn't have to have the amount of space being the same before, in front of it, and behind it. So harichol abadim means they pulled the badim klapei chutz. Ad sheniru rashi abadim pnei advir. So now they are appearing by the parochas. And that's okay. Then he says, but wait a second, the badim weren't only Esther Amos long. And the Dvir was Esrim Amma width. So how could it be near Apnei Advir? And the answer is, they didn't put it Samach Kosum HaRavi, but Hirchiku Osum and Akosu Ad Sheiro Abadim Apnei Advir. And that's what the Radak explains. Okay, so Shlomo Melech says, Banok begins to acknowledge the special occasion. Says Bano Vanisi Beis Vulach Bachol Meshiptecha Olamim. Olamim is a place that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to dwell forever. What's forever? There were temporary places until now that they put Karbanos. There was Gilgal, there was Shiloh, there was Nov and Gibbon. That wasn't Olamim. That wasn't the Makom Sheyivchar Hashem that the Pesukim describe in Sefer Devarim. This is the place. This is Har Moriah. This is where Avraham went to Akedah. This is Hashem Yireh. This is Machon Meshiftecha Olamim. And then he gives a bracha. Vayivarech es kol kahal Yisrael. Doesn't tell us what the bracha is. Radak says, and then he continued and said further, Baruch Hashem Elkei Yisrael Shevibet Befib Es David Avi. And he promised, and he kept his promise, and he chose David. And David wanted to build Sadeh Samigdash. And Hashem says, you're not to do it. Atal Osivna Abayis. And rather it will be your son, Yakim Hashem es Devaro, Va'akum Tachas David Avi, and I became the king, Va'evna Abayis, and I put a place for the Aron. This is the last pasuk of the Torah. Asher Karsim Avosinu Bo'otzio Osam in Eretz Mitzrayim. This poses up Torah both at Bikudei that we read, as well as the second day of Sukkot. So, thinking ahead to Sukkot, remember that you already heard it, Parshas Bikudei. Okay.